The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open again to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we want to take up our text in verse 22 after a word of prayer and continue with this thought and truth of the second coming of Christ. Father, we love you today because you first loved us. We come now in Jesus' name, asking for your grace and power to help us to preach, take the word of the Lord, give it free course, and may God be glorified. May the name of Jesus Christ be magnified. May the cause of Christ be furthered in this world. Help us now to help your people and sinners alike. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What a solemn and sincere exhortation to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find here that we should give ourselves to a holy hush, to a careful consideration, to an earnest examination of our hearts when we come to this verse. I believe we find that in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now in the verse before us, we find the same sentiment. The same line of thinking, I believe, is in the apostle's heart. He is calling for the Christians to examine themselves. Truly, brethren, it is today, it is this very moment, when both time and eternity converge, and God's Spirit makes the Word of God real to the hearts of men. There will be no time to love Him more when we stand before Him at the judgment seat. There'll be no time to weep more, to pray more, to serve more, to give more, to do more, to wait before Him, to work for Him, to worship Him in that day. When we stand before Him, the time to love Him more is now. So let me begin now. We look back to verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. It appears that God is stirring in the heart of the Apostle Paul and perhaps giving him a glimpse of what he gives John to write in the Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The churches of Asia were saluting the saints in Corinth. And as he comes down after the salutations, he writes, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha." And so Paul, therefore, has what was going on in the churches of Asia in his mind, in his heart. And so I want to flip over to the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and briefly mention these churches. We find here seven letters to seven local churches, as given by Jesus Christ the Lord through the Apostle John to the seven churches. The present condition of these churches is forever preserved in the record of Scripture, which we hold in our hands today. These lessons taught here and the truths we find here apply in our present-day local churches. Therefore, we say that the practical applications are forever preserved, and we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which are written here. I furthermore say that the prophetic anticipation is forever preserved, and we can see it coming to pass as we look back into the history of God's churches throughout this age. We see parallels with the particular order of the seven churches as found in the Scripture. Each letter has a structure, beginning with a formal introduction. The church is addressed, the Lord reveals an aspect of His person, and He gives His perspective of the church's real condition and how it stands before the Lord. Then there comes either confrontation of the church's sins, or a commendation of the church's service, or a combination of both, in which the Lord's prescription for the church is revealed. Finally, there's a word of exhortation with a promise to the overcomer and a word concerning perception for those with spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say unto the churches. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." We see here a distracted church in Ephesus. The authority of our Lord's person is revealed. He is the one who holds and walks and knows the seven churches. He confronts their sin in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." No wonder Paul would say, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, devoted to destruction, Maranatha, for the Lord is coming. The church of Ephesus was distracted. They had left their first love. The prescription of Jesus Christ for the church and its sin is to remember, repent, and do, or else, he says in verse 5, "I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The church of Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Here is a disquieted church, a church which is suffering. The eternality of the person of Christ is revealed. His eternal person and power and presence would give suffering grace and dying grace to these dear saints. The church which had nothing possessed all things, poverty without, riches within. Christ gives no word of confrontation here, only commendation. He says in so many words, "Don't be fearful, just be faithful. Cast away your fear and cling to your faith. I will go before thee and give thee a crown of life." The church of Pergamos, chapter 2, verse 12, "And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges, a deficient church, false doctrine within,
division within, deception within, and the integrity of the person of Christ is revealed to this church. His word, a sharp sword, is a keen, double-edged sword with a tremendous cutting edge, pure, powerful, penetrating to the inmost parts of the hearts of men. Compare with Hebrews 4, verse 12, the church of Thyatira, chapter 2, verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Here is a defiled church, a church that God has given space to repent for that wicked Jezebel that they had permitted. They were working, loving, serving, believing, continuing, and then working some more, yet for all the positive, there was permission granted to that old Jezebel that brought grave error into the church and filled it with corruption. The severity of God's person is revealed here. Three times in the scripture, God is declared to be a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, chapter 9, verse 3, Hebrews 12, verse 29, and Christ is coming in flaming fire one day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, the Son of God will come again in fiery indignation. And this church sees him with eyes like unto a flame of fire to penetrate and look into their hearts, expose the corruption, and burn it from within the church and remove it altogether. Chapter 3, verse 1, the church at Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Here then is a dead church. The perfection of God's person is revealed. Seven churches, seven stars, seven lamps of fire before the throne. We remind you of Revelation 4, verse 5, the seven spirits of God. God is perfectly holy. His very presence burns with the fire of holiness. And he knows perfectly the works of the churches. They were to be watchful, strengthen the things which remain, to remember, to hold fast, and to repent. The church in Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The ability of Christ's person is revealed. He holds the key of David, clothed with majesty, vested with authority. He has the power, the right, and the ability to open and close doors as he will. The church of Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The surety of his person is revealed. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Let it even be so, as our Lord has said, and as it is written. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.